By way of introduction to the sikha we're going to learn today, we need to understand the principle of what is called hekdesh, that you can take an item which belongs to you and designate it for a higher purpose, designate it to the Beis HaMikdash or designate it to the Kohanim. So the word we usually use is the word hekdesh. However, it is possible for a person to use the word cherem, and that effectively implies the same thing, that you're designating something for a higher purpose. Now, you have to be a little bit more specific when you use the word cherem. You have to say, is it a cherem to Shamayim? Is it being designated to the Beis HaMikdash? Or is it cherem la-Kohanim? Is it something that you're designated to the Kohanim? And there are going to be different halachas depending on what the cherem is. And there's a debate in the Gemara. If a person doesn't specify, does it naturally go to the Beis HaMikdash or naturally go to the Kohanim? So if a person does the process called hekdesh, let's say that a person has a field that is their family inheritance, what we call stei achuza, and they decide now that they want to designate that field as hekdesh, then they're not allowed to use the field. And when the yovel year comes along, if they have not bought back that field from hekdesh for its value, then the field goes to the kohanim. That's called sedei acherim. It's one of the versions of how a field could belong to the kohanim. It's considered also one of the 24 gifts to the kohanim. Alternatively, if the gizbar, the person, the treasurer who is responsible for elements that belong to hekdesh, decides to sell that field while it is in the property of hekdesh, same thing, it will go to the kohanim. Now, if a person makes a cherem to kohanim, let's say that a person uses that word cherem, they designate their field, to use that example, to the kohanim, it can never be redeemed. So something which is hekdesh can eventually be bought back for its value. But if a field is made as cherem to the kohanim, it can never be bought back. And the Kohanim are permitted to use it for any usage at all. They don't have to specifically use it only for holy items, which is different to hekdesh. Hekdesh is something which always has to be held in the space of holiness. So what we're going to be learning about is in our parasha, it talks about these halachas. And the Rambam is going to comment on these halachas. First, we're going to look at the Gemara, because this is a siyum on the Gemara Erchin, where it speaks about this principle, and there's a very important law that the Gemara is going to teach us about Sedei HaCherem, these fields that have been designated for the Kohanim. We're also going to then see what the Rambam says, ask a few questions on the Rambam, learn the Minchas Chinuch, who will give us actually the backstory to help us contextualize all of this. And a very important part of understanding what's happening here is to understand the meaning of the word Cherem, which will emerge later, because it is not the same as the word hekdesh, even though some people translate cherem as just a synonym of hekdesh, but it has negative implications as well. Usually a cherem is something that you excommunicate, or a cherem is something that may even have the word curse associated with. And that piece of information is going to be quite relevant later, because it will help us to understand what the difference is between a stei hacherem, when a kohen owns it, versus a field which an ordinary person owns, and they want to make into cherem for the kohen. So that information right now sounds a little abstract. We'll see how it all pans out. But let's start off with the parasha, and then we'll go into the siyum of the Gemara Erechin. Let's say that there was a person who had a field that belonged to them because of their inheritance or their lineage, and they now designated as hekdesh to the Beis HaMikdash. And then the person doesn't buy it back, which is really the intention, because the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have much use for the field. But if you then buy it back, you're giving money to the Beis HaMikdash, but he doesn't. Or the representative, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, sold this field to somebody else. Now there's the pasuk for it. So what happens to the there's the money which goes to the Beis HaMikdash. What actually happens to the field? Shaitim pasuk. The pasuk tells us, "V'ho yasod the betzeis by yovel." When it comes to yovel, that field is going to be kodesh l'Hashem kizdei acherim. It's going to be designated as a holy field, which means la'koyin tiyach hazasei. It is the same as sdei acherim, a field that somebody donated to the kohanim. So this now, by default, belongs to the Kohanim, even though the original person who owned the field never said that. This field now becomes the property of the Kohanim who happen to be on duty when this occurs. In the same way as if a person had said, my field is a Cherem, it would go to those Kohanim. That's the pasuk. Right at the end of the Gemara Erechin, the Gemara quotes these words, like a field that an ordinary person had designated for a kohen, this field will go to the kohanim. On fact, so the Gemara asks, why did we need these words? Why is it significant over here to know that this field is like sedei acherim? If our field was associated with kohanim be yovel, if we're discussing a field that the Torah is telling us is going to the kohanim in the yovel year. Says the Gemara, it's actually teaching us this. What happens if you have a Kohen who, however it came to be, owns a field? And he now dedicates his field as Hekdesh. Shelo yoimar, that Kohen should not say to himself, if it was somebody else's Yisrael's field that he had made Hekdesh, and then it came to Yovel, it would have come to us, the Koyanim. Right? If it's not, if the Yovel Yo comes and he hasn't taken it back, it goes to the Koyanim. This field is actually my field. So the field should come back to me. In other words, I was Makdish the field, now it's Yovel. If I could get somebody else's field in the Yovel, I should get my own field back in the Yovel. And he would make the following Kavachomer, Vedino. I have the capacity to be able to get somebody else's field that he sanctified. So an ordinary person's designated or dedicated field comes to me in the Yovel Yo as a Kohen, which Rashi explains means I already have some kind of an investment in that field already beforehand. So surely how much more so I should be able to get my field back. Talmud Loima says the Gemara, that's why the Pasuk had to say, that field that belonged to the Kohen, now when it's the Yovel Yo, is sanctified, like the field of a person who gave it to the Kohen in the first place. Why? We thought that this Pasuk, or these words in the Pasuk, were coming to teach us something about the rule of what happens to a field in Yovel, but rather, it actually is reverse. We're learning from this what to do with a field that had belonged to a Kohen. Makish Steichem l'steyachuz shel Yisrael. This Steyachirim, the Kohen's field that he had made Hekdesh, is now being compared to, and therefore has the same halacha as, a Yisrael's field that he had made Hekdesh. Ma Steyachuz shel Yisrael. So what's the halacha about a regular Jew who had designated his field? Ven HaKohen otos geil given von Hekdesh. And now the Kohen gets it out of Hekdesh. So that field would, in the Yovel Yo, be divided between the regular Kohanim on duty. Likewise, if the field had originally belonged to a Kohen and he had designated it, he loses his rights to that field in the Yovel Yo, and it goes to the other Kohanim who are part of the Mishmar that's on duty at that time. That's the Gemara. The Rambam says it, although we'll see that the language of how the Rambam says this halacha raises many questions. If a Kohen had a field that was his because somebody had designated it to a Kohen. So he got it after the Yovel. And now he chose to designate his field as Hekdesh. It is effective. In other words, the field is no longer his and it becomes in the category of Cherem, which is a form of Hekdesh. And that field is then split between other Kohanim. So he quotes the Pasuk that the Kohen gets that inheritance, so to speak. That teaches us that the field the Kohen had received from a Yisrael and now designated as Hekdesh is the same as a Yisrael who had designated his field as Hekdesh. And therefore, if he designated this as Hekdesh, it is immediately Hekdesh and it belongs to the other Kohanim. The Minchas Chinuch has three questions on how the Rambam has put this halacha forward. Number one, we saw in the Gemara that we were talking about a Kohen who uses the expression Hekdesh in order to designate his field. Then when Yovel comes, it gets split between the other Kohanim. The Rambam uses the word hechrim, which is a different form of designation. And so, ask the Minchas Chinuch, where does the Rambam get the source for that from? The Gemara used the expression hikdish. Why does the Rambam talk about hechrim? Now, that's a really big problem, not just because the words and the technical differences between hekdesh and chirim, but because nochmer, a kohen can go nit machrim sein. We actually have a principle, which is that a kohen is not able to use the technique called chirim. But the Mishnah Zokt and Friedrich and Perik, the Mishnah and Erchin says it. Ha-Koyhanim al-Levim, ein machrimen, you don't get clearer than that. Koyhanim and Levim are not able to make a Cherim. The Gans, the Din Cherim, is in Shaykh by Koyhanim al-Levim, Gzeres HaKosef. The Torah, for whatever reason, it's Gzeres HaKosef, says that Koyhanim and Levim do not have the capacity to use the method of Cherim. So then, it doesn't even matter now how the Kohen got the field in the first place. It's irrelevant. He cannot make it a cherem. So does given Zaino from Freya, whether it was somehow a legacy field that he had inherited, or it's something he got at a later stage because, let's say, somebody donated it to him. Because it's not only halacha with regards to fields. Even if he had other assets which are movable items, he would not be allowed to make them into a cherem. With the Mishnah zokt, with the Rambam alim paskin the halacha shel achreze. Not only does the Mishnah say it, the Rambam himself says it. Karkoi mitaltin shel kohen levim ein machrim oisam. That's the Rambam's words. That property that belongs to a kohen, whether it be fixed or movable property, he cannot make into a cherem. So why here and on what basis is the Rambam suggesting the possibility of a Kohen who is Machrim, who makes his field a Cherem, and then we have to decide if it gets shared to the other Kohanim like a regular Cherem? Question 2. For Vanan and the Rambam was a shaib a similar shayna she mechrimo imuchremes miyad. What is the basis for the Rambam saying that if the Kohen actually does announce his field as a Cherem, it is an immediate Cherem? The Gemara only said that field will be divided between the other Kohanim. And the Minchas Chinuch uses the expression, v'nishne, v'nishlesh b'loshen zeh. It's an expression that the Gemara repeats multiple times. There's nothing in the Gemara that says it's an immediate effect. It just says that that's what will happen to this field. It will go to the Kohanim. On what basis does the Rambam say it's going to go immediately? And the last question is, Gimel Deloshen HaRambam B'tchilas HaLocha Shezocha Ba'achar Yovel. There's a very interesting phrase that the Rambam uses over here. A field that the Kohen gets after Yovel. Yovel HaKin Shteichas Nit to Chema Kohanim. It's the field of an ordinary person that gets affected in Yovel. The field of a Kohen is not determined by Yovel. A Kohen is Eichet Yichremim Shtendik. A Kohen can get a Cherem field anytime. Sai Lifnei Yovel, Sai Be Yovel, and Sai Lacha Yovel. Could be before, during, or after the Yovel year. Again, the Rambam himself has said this. As the Cherem Koyanim, he says the principle of Cherem Koyanim, fields of Koyanim that they're going to receive from other people, go to the Koyan who's on duty at the time the person designated the field. It has no attachment to Yovel. Why did the Rambam bring it up? Okay, so we'll start with that. Well, maybe the easiest way to say this is, well, when he uses the word vehechrim over here, it's not really referring to what we know as the cherem of a field that goes to koyanim. What does it mean? There's another kind of cherem which we could speak about, and that is not cherem lebedek abayis, a cherem leshamayim, that it is possible for a person to use the word, the phrase, and therefore the technique of cherem to designate something to the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's what we're talking about over here. Something the Rambam has discussed in the preceding halachas. And in that case, if we're describing a Kohen who has a stei cherem that he got after the yovel, it may well be talking about a field that was designated using the cherem method to the Beis HaMikdash and is now given to the Kohen. Again, same principle. It hadn't been redeemed, so it goes to the Kohanim. So maybe that's the easiest way to explain this. Except that it really does not fit into the language the Rambam has used. Because first of all, if this was what the Rambam meant, that Cherem over here is referring to Cherem Shomayim or Cherem Bedek HaBayis, what's his source for that? We haven't seen that in the Gemara. But besides that, it's from Simla Shoinai. Listen carefully to the Rambam's language at the end where he says, Melamed, Shesedei Chermoy Loi, his Sedei HaCherem, is his, or you would think is his, as mashma as eretz v'ngecherem koyanim, that implies that he's describing cherem moy, a cherem of a koyan, a field that was designated to the koyan, not a field that was designated to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're really back to our original three questions, and why is the Rambam suggesting things that don't necessarily seem to have a mocker? We'll start with the third question and work our way backwards, because the third question seems to have a simple answer. So they are Meforshim that give what would appear to be information that could answer the Minchas Chinuch's third question. Why is the Rambam tying this to the Yovel? As mitiverta shetzocha bo achar ha-Yovel, the easiest way to say this is, when the Rambam said the field that he gets as a Kohen after Yovel, meint do de Rambam ananda fal. He's actually saying there's an alternative. There's Sdei HaCherem, or, which is designated in the first place to the Kohanim, or there's another possibility of how he gets a field, which is it wasn't redeemed and the Yovel year came and therefore the Kohen gets the property. Und das ist Kiluvi, der Rambam wohl geschrieben. And so really, maybe there's an editorial issue over here, or maybe the Rambam wrote it in a style that we should read it as if it's an alternative. Oy, shezochaba achar hayovel. We should read into that the word oy. Either it's a sedei hacherem, which is given to the Kohanim, or it is a field which is being redeemed, or which hadn't been redeemed by the Yovel. A field that a regular Yisrael had designated to be hektish and hadn't redeemed, which as we've already seen goes to the Kohanim. And then the Rambam's telling us, and now that the Kohen has that field, he could choose to make it designated to hektish in the form of cherem, in which case it would be immediate. Okay, maybe that's a good way of avoiding that particular issue. Why is the Rambam pulling Yovel into something which it seems not to have relevance to? So we say, well, there is a version where it has relevance, and that's when it's not the Kohen whose field is becoming available in the Yovel, it's the Yisroel's. The only problem is, why does the Rambam start this whole conversation by saying, a Kohen who had a Stei Acherim, and at the end, when he unpacks the pasuk, he says, it teaches us, why that difference of language? The first one is saying he has it, like kind of emphasizing his ownership, and the next time saying kind of it's cher moy, it's kind of his cher. But then, of course, we have the much bigger question, which we asked right at the beginning. Why would the Rambam suggest over here that a Kohen is machrim his field when we have a principle that a Kohen cannot do chere? Well, there's an easy answer for that. The fact that there's a rule that a Kohen may not sanctify a field or fixed property using the chere process, it's not something that the Torah said, and you just have to accept it whether you understand it or not. In other words, don't believe that the Torah has forbidden that kind of a person, a Kohen, from ever doing a Cherem. Rather, it is a rule that applies to an item, an asset that belongs to a Kohen. You can actually see that in the Rambam's language, and we'll see in a moment why this makes a difference. In the Mishnah, the language the Mishnah used was speaking about the people. These people, Koyanim and Levim, they are not entitled to do cherem. The Rambam writes, whereas the Rambam says, these items, fixed or movable objects, that belong to Koyanim and Levim, they may not be put through the process of cherem. Why is the Rambam making that distinction? So he says, because when describing a field, the asset, the Torah says, it should be an eternal asset of the Kohanim. Or the Levim, because that's actually where it says it. And that's why the restriction against the Kohen going through the Cherem process is specifically about fields. Because that's one of the gifts that the Eibishter gave to Kohanim and Levim. The Sodus in Or Levim was Yosher Me'avim, which those Kohanim and Levim in turn would have received by inheritance from their parents. Well, if the Eibishter has given you something, and he's given it to you as an eternal heritage, you can never give it away. Those fields that you get as part of your Kohen and Levi lineage. So you can't make it holy, because then it is no longer your property, your legacy, your inheritance. And that's against the Torah. The Torah said, it is your eternal legacy and inheritance. So if that's the logic, why a Kohen may not sanctify his field, because it's not even his. If it's a different field that the Kohen received as a donation from an ordinary person, therefore it's not part of his eternal legacy as a member of the tribe of Levi. Well, if it's not yours, and if it's not yours for the long term, in the eternal sense, then you can actually be makdish. You can make it into achera. So maybe that's a good way to explain how the Rambam is not bringing some kind of shock value over here to say to us, well, guess what? A Kohen actually can do achera when the Mishnah says you can't. It's a beautiful explanation, but it's insufficient. From the fize is dosas to kain kemachrim zain is a snitvale siste chermoi. Then the reason why the kohen is entitled to donate this field is not because it is, as the Rambam said, sdei chermoi, his gift that he received from a Jewish person, a regular Jewish person. Naval says nitachuzase. The only reason he can donate it is because it's not part of his legacy heritage. Nitachuzaseilam shalai, which is eternal. After Rambam gedav madgish zain, nit kohen shoyseles sdei cherem. In that case, the Rambam should have emphasized not a kohen who has come into a field because of Stei Achem from a Yisrael. Rather, the Rambam should have emphasized this is a field which is not part of his genealogical legacy. He could have used words like a field that a Kohen got via a Yisrael or something else like that would clarify for us the reason this Kohen is entitled to share this particular field with Hektish is because it doesn't belong to his asset base, or to his gift from Hashem. Oich, in the Etzem Sfarah, besides the technicality of it, just this principle that we've suggested over here, as the Cherem Ischal Valdi Sod is Nitach Hazos in Mamish, the suggestion that the reason a Kohen is permitted to sanctify his field that he got from a Yisrael is because it's not part of his heritage, Tzarchiyon, that also needs to be understood. The limud vid Rambam bring them hekesh stei chermot to stei achuzo is betechem hafchivin erzin gemara. The way the Rambam relates the two parts of the Psukim, the one that speaks about Stei Cheremoi, the Kohen who received this field, and the part that speaks about Yisrael who has a legacy field that he wants to be Makdish, the way the Rambam puts it seems to be the opposite of the Gemara. The Gemara zogt, what did the Gemara tell us? Makish Stei Cheremoi li Stei Achuzo shel Yisrael. Let's compare his, the Kohen's received field, to the Yisrael's legacy field. Just like the Yisrael who donated his legacy field and didn't buy it back or didn't redeem it. It goes to the Kohanim. So too, the received Stei Achem of the Kohen also goes to the Kohanim. Dos heis, in other words, melentop Stei Achem of Stei Achem of Yisrael, vechot the Kohen not pay the given mina hektish. So what is the structure of the Gemara? Let's learn the halacha of the field the Kohen got from the halacha of the field that the Yisrael gave. As Kshem Yidon is dos nid zayna, un is yoyse metach ziyodai, as teichem yoyse metach ziyodai chulei. And the message being, just as the field no longer belongs to the Yisrael and it goes to the Kohanim, the field that the Kohen had received and then designated is no longer his and goes to the Kohanim. That's the way the Gemara puts it. And Rambam is dos shem elamish as teichem yoyloi kis teichotus the Yisrael. Whereas the way the Rambam says it is, his field, the Kohen's, that he received, is his, like the field of a legacy, a property of a Yisrael. Vos mashmus is the bailes of Stei Chermoi, that sounds like the Rambam is saying, his rights to ownership over the field he was given by the Yisrael, is punkt v'steach chuzeli sov aser ken zemachrim zayin, is exactly the same as the ownership that an ordinary person has over his field, which then allows him to designate it. Now, that's not what the Rambam was saying, what we wanted to argue the Rambam was saying. We wanted to argue that the Rambam was saying pretty much the opposite, that it's because it's not his legacy field, therefore he can donate it. So, what is the Rambam actually trying to tell us over here? Shlomo Abirbu calls Zeva Hektim Vastachinuch is Mazbut to Shosh Amitzvundi Charomim. So, in order to learn, to understand this, we know that the Minchas Chinuch obviously is based on the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch takes the mitzvahs in the parasha, explains what they are, when they apply, who they apply to, and explains to us what's the reason behind the mitzvah. So he gives quite an elaborate explanation over here that will help us understand this entire concept of cherem, and then from that, how it applies differently to a regular Yisrael versus a Kohen. Says Masbid, Shosh HaMitzvah Dina Charom. Because the Jewish people are the nation that Davisha chose to serve him. To recognize his name, Hashem Yisborech L'Amim Min HaOmos. So, unlike the rest of the world, we don't have, we're not outsourced to some kind of a delegation, you know, to some kind of an intermediary, an angel, or whatever to respond. But the Eibishter takes care, so to speak, directly of us. Like the Pasuk says, that we are the Eibishter's portion and inheritance. Therefore, because we're the Eibishter's special people, therefore, we are in line for only bracha and only goodness and only purity. What's the opposite of that? It's the curses that are directed at those who are the enemies of the Jewish people. Okay, so bracha is for us and curses for the other guys. So if a Jewish person is in a bad state of mind and therefore uses an expression which is a cursed expression about his assets, assets that belong to the world of bracha. So the Torah tells us, it is impossible, we are not empowered to be able to take our assets from the realm of bracha and stick them into the realm of curse, even if that's what we say. Because whatever belongs to the Yidden really effectively belongs to the Eibishter. Whatever we acquire as Hashem's servant is automatically the Eibishter's. It's in the world of Kedusha, in the world of purity, in the world of goodness. We can't get it out. But here's somebody who said, I curse my property. Because we now see that effectively what this person is doing by using the expression cherem, which is to say that his property is cursed, he's effectively saying, I don't want it. So therefore, Roy Lashem Chefzai, it's appropriate that we should fulfill his wishes. So instead of taking his property and making it, God forbid, something negative, we say, you don't want it, goes back to the original owner, to your master, to the Eibishter, and therefore becomes holy. It's for that reason that anything which belongs to Kohanim and Levim cannot go through the Cherem process. Why not? Because even if a Kohen or Levi would pronounce that his assets and his field particularly should become a Cherem, it doesn't stick. Because the Kohen and the Levi already lives in the holy space, already lives in the realm of Kedusha. Everything that he has is blessed. And if you're in an environment which is absolute brocha, there is absolutely no space for the opposite. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch explains it. Now, but the is in it doesn't seem to make sense. So a regular Jewish person can actually turn their property into cherem, and a Kohen and Levi can't. Why not? Surely the expression the Chinuch used, which is that there's no room for curse in the world of Kohanim and Levim, should actually extend to say there's no room for curse in the world of the Jewish people, where the Eibishter's chosen people. Like he said, the Sefer HaChinuch said, it's impossible to take something from the realm of Brocha into the other. The only reason Sefer HaChinuch says the Cherem works is because this person has illustrated that they want to get rid of their property. So therefore it's only appropriate for us to fulfill their request. And therefore it should go not into, God forbid, a bad place, but back to where it belongs, to Kedusha. So why don't we apply the same logic when a Kohen or a Levi says they want to be Machrim, then Nechosim? Okay, fine, you don't want to have it, we'll respect it, don't have it, we're going to Kedusha. Why not? But the chilek is, so the distinction over here, which is going to be the key for us understanding this whole conversation, is Nechosim for Nayisov Baldas, the connection of the assets of a Jewish person, a regular Jewish person, to the Eibishter is not fundamental, it's not intrinsic. Now, it's because the property is in my reshus. It's because it's my property. And I am the Eibishter's servant, therefore whatever I bring into my asset base belongs to Hashem. So yes, because the item now sits in the portfolio of holiness, therefore cannot just go down the tubes. No, Svet Kedesh will become holy. But as mentioned, why does the Torah take this property away from the person and give it to Kedusha? Because of that person's intention. What was his intention? Because he showed his intention. He used the word cherem. He indicates, I don't want this property. If this was property that wasn't tethered to the Eibishter, there's no reason why this property should not be cursed. There's no reason why this property should not be sidelined. So at the very least, the name Cherem belongs to this field. And the negative is not really negative. It's just that I no longer have the Nechosim. They go to the Eibishter. And that's actually the practical application of it. It's called stei cherem. You don't have rights to it anymore. It's not just that they own things and therefore belongs to the portfolio of holiness. They are 100% holy items because they belong to a Kohen and a Levi. You cannot even use the word, the title, the description, the adjective cherem with regards to something that belongs to a Kohen and a Levi. If you cannot use the word cherem, there's no mechanism by which to take this out of their property and give it to Kedusha. Because the only way you get it to Kedusha is you take it away from them. There's no way to take it away from them. They are already in the realm of Kedusha. So now we understand why a Kohen cannot designate something as Kherim, because their items, their property, are not in the realm, in the scope of being turned into Kherim. Therefore, if a Kohen now gets property that wasn't originally his, came from a Yisrael. Well, that's property that was susceptible to the designation of Cherem, and therefore had to be so-called be saved and turned into Kedusha. That field is susceptible to becoming a Cherem, even when it's now in the Kohen's property. Likewise, if there is a field designated by a Yisrael and he did not redeem it, and Yovel comes along and that field goes to the Kohen, well, the legacy heritage of that particular field is not in the realm of absolute holiness. Therefore, there was the potential that that field could have been put into the Cherem process through the Jew who originally owned it. The fact that that field now is in the property of the Kohen does not restrict it from being turned into a Cherem. That's what the Rambam is telling. The fact that it says that the property will go to the Kohen means to tell us that his field that is received from outside of the Kohanim circle is the same as if it was a field that was currently outside of the Kohanim circle, in other words, owned by a regular Jewish person. And therefore, if he applies Cherem to it, the Cherem is automatically applicable. In other words, what he's saying is, this field retains the same halakhic parameters as it did when it was in the hands of a regular Jewish person. The fact that the Steachem, which was designated to the Kohanim, or the Sada that came to the Kohen because the Yisrael didn't buy it back, can be Mochremes. It's not because it's not part of his heritage properties, about which the Torah says you can never relinquish that ownership. But rather, it's actually something proactive, positive. You can turn it into a stei acherim because that is the nature of this field. It is open to becoming a stei acherim. This field was always susceptible to cherim. So if this field, even though it's currently in the possession of the Kohen, it is not the same as his property as a Kohen, deserved as a Kohen, which is always in the realm of holiness and can never leave. And therefore, should he designate it as Cherem, it is immediately effective. That's actually the distinction between the way the Gemara says it and the Rambam says it. The Gemara said, just like if there was something that belonged to Yisrael and then was not nifteh from Hekdesh, it gets distributed between the Kohanim. Likewise, we take out the field from his possession as a Kohen and give it to the other Kohanim. On the Limit Rambam, it's different how the Rambam says it. Because in Gemara is the Limit as a bleibt nicht seine noch mischalekas lecha vakoyanem. The Gemara is focusing on the fact that this field does not remain yours, Mr. Kohen, but it gets divided between the other Kohanim. In Rambam is the Limit shestechem lecha stechus lisol shemichim yomachremes miyad, whereas the Rambam is focusing on the fact that this field can become a cherem immediately. As is chaloi fir shem cherem. Not only that you lose the field, but that the field is called cherem, which you would have thought is only reserved for Yisrael. It now leaves the possession of the Kohen and it becomes something which is truly holy, implying, of course, that it wasn't a regular part of his possession, which was already holy. On the Rambam, the Rambam is not arguing with the Gemara, he's extracting this out of the Gemara's conclusion. Because the Gemara says we need these words. Sal kadait chamina would have thought, hoy yeluchsiv ki achuz aseilem ulohem. Seeing as the Torah tells us that a kohen and a levi, their properties are theirs forever, you would have thought, hon nami achuz asehi. You would think that this property that the kohen got through a gift or from a stay achuz that was hektish, that wasn't redeemed, you would think it's the same as his regular properties. Ko mashmalon, therefore the Torah tells us, achuz asehi. His legacy, inherited familial properties, those are his forever. His received properties from other people's dedication, they are not his forever. In other words, the Gemara is showing us clearly that received properties are not the same as heritage properties. Therefore, not only the law of cherem, but even the word cherem applies to these fields. Now, what's interesting about this is, it sounds like we started this backwards. First, we explained why there's such a thing as cherem, and then based on that, decided what the halachas of cherem are. Oh, that's not usually how it works. Shleimar, as does the Shaykhs with them, was the Dinus, the Achuz, and the Acherim, Zain in the Pasha, and in the Masechta Erechim. Well, the reason we're doing that is because you look at context. Where in the Torah does it speak about fields, this whole process of Hektish and Cherim? And where in the Gemara does it speak about it? In the context of a broader subject, Erechim, which is where a person, and that's why the Rambam calls it, Hichas Erechim Vicharamin, where a person designates a logical amount of money to a particular item. The whole principle of Erchin is based on some kind of a logical basis. You calculate how much is this person at this age worth, how much is that person at that age worth, how much it's for a woman. So you calculate the progression where a person becomes more valuable, less valuable, the contribution that they can make. Rashi speaks about how the degradation of females is less than of males. There is an independent kohen who comes in and makes this calculation, and there's a rational basis for it. In other words, the inyan atam v'das is da'azayfun l'geh b'svet ha'alocha g'laich b'tchiliz masech de'erchin. So the principle of using a rational basis for determining the value of an item that's going to be donated through the erech process, the rational basis is so important that you see it right at the beginning. Svet ha'alocha g'laich b'tchiliz masech de'erchin. It's ha'alocha that is presented right at the beginning of erechin. What is it? Ha'kel ma'arichin. Everybody has the capacity to determine the erech, the value of something or someone to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So ask the Gemara, La Suya Mai, what's Hakol coming to include? La Suya Mufla Samachlish, to include a child who's not yet Bar Mitzvah, but has that, so to speak, that maturity. That illustrates to us that the determination of the value of an item is dependent on rational mind, understanding, a logical basis. Therefore, when a person is old enough that they can actually make these logical conclusions, we can include them in the process. So now that we know that Erchin have to have this very strong rational basis, seeing as Charamin are in the same gambit, in the same set of halachas, they also, as the Gedolim didn't shalahem, whatever rules apply to Charamin are also not just arbitrary because the Torah said so and you have to just accept it, but because they make sense. So the whole principle of determining these laws has to be based on reason. Therefore, the Rambam learns from the Sima Gemara. We learn achuzosoi is what's forever achuzosoi in chermoi loy. Only property that is heritage, legacy property is the kohen and the levi's forever, but received properties from others is not in that category. Why? Because once you understand the reason of cherem, which we've discussed already from the Sefer Achinuch, then you understand why it only applies to property that is actual koyan property, which is in the realm of holiness, as opposed to regular Yisrael property, which is not. Which explains why a koyan is capable of on-dedicating a field that was dedicated to them, the koyan. So you do the sif mit Rebbe Hillel Paritcher, the famous story of the Rebbe Hillel Paritcher singers. We're talking about Erchen Bacharomin over here. Zayin deka yunger man, not to give all zendem alter Rebbe. We know that as a young man, the Rebbe Hillel wanted to see the alter Rebbe. On earth by sich gehat zugegret akashia, im sechte Erchen, oifse fregnum alter Rebbe. And he had prepared this very profound question about Erchin that he wanted to ask the Alter Rebbe when he would see him. Vino the Alter Rebbe is herangegangen in Zimmer, wo Reb Hillel hat sich gehad behalten. So what Reb Hillel Parcher did is he knew where the Alter Rebbe was going to be, and he hid himself in the room. When the Alter Rebbe walked into the room where Reb Hillel was hiding, Alter Rebbe the head with the Alter Rebbe sagt, "Minigen ayedua." So immediately Reb Hillel heard Alter Rebbe speaking in his regular sing-song fashion, saying, "As a younger man hot a kashya in Erchin, that if a young man has a question about the laws of Erchin, darf a frizach mayrich zayin, the first thing he has to do is self-assessment." And of course, Reb Hillel was very taken by that, and he didn't actually get to see the Alter Rebbe. Shloimar, as doskin ben ayrot, Reb Hillel and Meshach kol meichayov. This turned into a lifelong lesson for Reb Hillel in how he should conduct himself. As you can see, Reb Hillel was somebody who was very extreme in following all the strictest versions of how to keep halacha. But we've now learned that the whole principle of Erchin is supposed to be something which has a very clear rational basis. And the way you see it translate into Reb Hillel's life is incredible dedication to serving the Eibishter, which doesn't necessarily seem to be reliant on a rational basis. You don't necessarily see that Reb Hillel's great dedication to the Eibishter was limited only to intellect. The explanation is, well, that's exactly the point. When a person does an honest self-assessment, that's when the person comes to understand. It's only when a person does a proper, rational self-assessment, self-audit, that's when the person realizes the limitations of the intellect and realizes you've got to be connected to the Eibishter and dedicated to the Eibishter beyond the intellect. And that's what's being expressed right at the end of the Masechta when we learn the halachas of Charamim, which are, so to speak, part two of Erchin. It's not only that a person takes an item and says, you know what, I'm not going to have this item, I'm not going to enjoy this item, I'm not going to get stuck in a worldly thing, which of course implies concealment of the Eibish, I'm going to give it away. It's not just you're giving items away to holiness, it's that a person is designating the powers of their own soul, that my own inner workings should belong to the Eibishter, completely distinct from the things of this world. In fact, such a level of dedication that like a cherem of a kohanim, which can never be redeemed, I can never bring myself back into the materialistic world. They become not just my assets, but they become intrinsically holy. And meaning to say, I become intrinsically holy. To the extent like Reb Hillel experienced in his life, as mitzad gedol zirus and precious, because he was so cautious about keeping himself away from the materialism of this world, he reached a point where he didn't even have to know what was going on. His body naturally reacted to what mitzvahs to do or to what things to avoid, even without being given the rational information. Oh, somebody lit a candle over here before Shabbos, on Shabbos, and Reb Hillel's body wasn't able to see. When a Jew behaves this way, meaning that a person completely dedicates his physical elements, as well as his spiritual capacities, to be totally distinct from this world, removed from this world, and goes without saying that that means a person is exceptionally careful with what they say. Remember, Erchin and Charamin are all determined by the things that we say. And the person is absolutely vigilant that they'll never say something which is contrary to Brocha, like the word Cherem. Then that person plugs themselves into what the Sefer HaChinuch said, only goodness and only Brocha and only purity. In fact, to the extent that a person could be like a Kohen or a Levi. As the Rambam says, any person who chooses to do so can and totally dedicates themselves, can reach the state of the Kohen, which is to be separate from society, and to stand in front of the Eibishter, serving the Eibishter. At that point, the person becomes absolutely holy. Words of the Rambam. And the Eibishter becomes his only space and his only inheritance forever. And that will even include all of the person's assets, including, of course, the whole family. Will all be completely held within the place, the reality of only goodness and only bracha. And that will translate into real bracha in the three major areas of life: health, parnasa, and family. And may that taka be the reality for every single yid, wherever that yid might be.